Hello, Mech Warriors, and welcome to the Mech Bay, where we fix your mech and fix your game. What's going on, Mech Warriors, and welcome to the Mech Bay. Have it your way, but don't get crazy. What's going on, Dustin and Denim? How are you guys doing tonight?
Howdy, howdy. I'm recovering. It's been a long road recovering from this, so my voice may be a bit rough, but as always, with Josh's fantastic editing skills, you'll rarely hear me hack up along over here. How about you, Dustin?
I'm good. I'm doing great. Life is pretty much the same. I don't have much. I always think of that song. Pretty good. Can't complain. You know that song I'm talking about?
Not anymore.
That's okay. Anyways, yeah. Pretty good. All right. Can't complain.
Nice.
So today we are clearing out our backlog of mail because we finally rebooted the HPG printer, and that thing has eaten two reams of dot matrix paper today. While we wait for the Aztecs to get that sorted out, let's talk about what's new on our hobby radar. So hobby news, hobby progress, and any games played.
And we also have to order another two reams of dot matrix paper, and it's hard to get out here.
But we had a whole other case, but somebody went and ripped off all the little edges with the dots on it it in there.
It's like popping the bubbles in the shipping crates, you know?
I hate dot matrix paper so much.
Hey, there was some talk about us old techs, old Aztecs, man.
As a Battletech podcast, we are allowed to talk about things that are should old. Have died in the
'80s. Lost tech, yeah. But it was an impact printing, so you could actually do doubles and triplicates on a dot matrix printer. So if you needed triplicates of a sheet, you could run it through there, and it would actually do more than one layer of copy with transfer paper.
Never seen anyone print it with more than one copy.
You're not old enough.
Carbon copies?
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, yep. So the dot matrix. Oh, it was like an automatic printer typewriter thing. It was smacking little letters on there.
Yeah.
Wow. Impressive. That's why they're so noisy. Okay.
Yep.
And now they're Lost Tech.
Yeah, Lost Tech.
And that's where they should stay. Era exclusive. Anyways, for Battletech news, we've got the Adepticon release sheet, essentially, for all the things we expect to see at the end of the month.
This was a surprise to me. I wasn't expecting this amount of regurgitation of awesome things.
I mean, we got like the tidbits right as soon as we were releasing the last episode, but now we get to see the actual proliferation pack. New force pack that's not associated with any specific force.
But yeah, if you read the proliferation cycle, which we did for book club,
we did.
Those mechs are featured in there. So this was harking back to the Kickstarter, the last Kickstarter. They did mention that. So for it to be the surprise Lance pack, there's six mechs in there.
Seven.
Including the that's Kodal, right. They put the Kodal.
Yep.
Kyodal.
Coyote, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, no, pretty cool. I will pick this one up just because I love the proliferation cycle.
Because it's Battletech and I don't have it.
Yeah, you're going to get one of everything.
I got a problem.
I'm going to pick this up because it's my favorite force pack I've seen so far. You got the Mackie, the Ymir. How are we going with that one?
Ymir. I do Ymir usually.
Okay, we're going with Ymir. The Battle Axe, the Gladiator, the Icarus, not one, the Icarus 2, the Firebee, and the Coyotl. Like, what is not to love about this entire pack? Like, I've seen some.
I said I'm still sad the Battle Axe doesn't have a Battle Axe.
Look, you get the Battle Axe, you get the Hammer Hands, and then you get to the Warhammer. This is the evolutionary path that you go through.
I love it. I do. Hammer I love it. Too. But yeah, I'm so excited.
I'm disappointed the Hammer Hands doesn't have hammers.
Yeah.
Okay, the Hammer Hands model is perfect how it is, and I need that. But anyways, I've seen a lot of, like, I don't want to say internet grumbling, as we always see when any product is released.
You can say that.
I've seen a lot of people complaining about this one. And I was like, yes, really? Because they're like, Mackie's is not, available in X era, or this one's not available. And I'm like,
this is your museum pack. This is like, This is where you paint them up all nice and you just, yeah, no, I'm down with this pack. 100%.
I feel like I have to point at the sign, the bus that says, you know, through salvage, all lists are legal.
This one is the whole, oh no, you've got your teenagers whose planet got overrun and all the grownups got whisked away and they're stuck at the museum. You know, they've all been trained how to pilot mechs. They're just not like super good pilots. And they start up like the mechs they find in the museum to go defend their home planet. This is that cartoon.
It's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, this is my favorite of the pack. Like I get all the rare that are like, I want to say very iconic for a faction. Like if you saw this on the battlefield and you'd be like, nah, man, that battle axe and a Davion Lance just made that Davion like power twice as much.
And you know where that guy piloting it is like 70 years old with that big cigar in the cockpit. He didn't.
Oh yeah. And he's an ace 1-1 pilot.
Yeah. He's only got one eye too.
They call him Gramps at the, you know, the mech bar or something.
But he never pays for his own drinks. Never.
So yeah. Also, Plastic Maggie, people, are you complaining about Plastic Maggie?
No.
Look at that.
I mean,
those
PPCs are a little small, but, you know.
They're original PPC.
See, we're going to get even more hate mail.
Send all your hate mail right here.
Send the hate mail. All right, what else we got?
All right, we got the Urban Mech Lance, which we've known about, but now we have to see them.
So
that MRM-1 looks cool. The SRM-6 one looks good. They all look cool. I'm getting them.
MRM-1.
MRM. Yeah. I know what you're. I know how that sounded.
It's an Urban Mech. He gets one missile.
So unlike the salvage box and the company pack, this actually has different variants of
four different
sculpts, right?
Yep. They have four different weapon systems, four different sculpts, four different poses.
Is the Arrow 4-1 in there?
No.
Oh,
but you can get parts from like IWM and make one. But no, they don't have an official one yet.
Bro, just scrape or green stuff or I don't know, the MRM one. Like who's taking the MRM, Irby? Like
me, I like the MRMs. Yeah, but I also want an Arrow 4-1, so I will buy two of these packs.
Just put a smoke trail like Cotton Ball and like
100%, Josh. That is exactly.
Missile.
Yep.
Like, you don't even need to do any hard modifications. Just puffball it and missile shooting out of it. That's all. That's it.
That even doubles as your Thunderbolt launcher one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we got the MRM one. We got the rotary autocannon one. We've got the SRM one. And is that the AC-21?
Yeah.
So the four next most popular. And I don't really see anything other differences between like walking.
Some are running, some are kind of walking, you know. Yeah, they're different.
Which is nice. Like they're not all just like the same Urban Mech with different guns. So I appreciate that.
I say they're running. You can't really tell. I mean, they have to run to turn around. So, you know, they don't have enough walk movement to a careful stand legally.
50% extra speed on slow is still slow.
Yes.
Ah, man, I can't get over that proliferation pack.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right.
Next, we have the Snords Irregulars Assault Lance.
That Franken Mech Rifleman. Oh, man, it just looks so good.
So we'll have
Oh, he's got a Warhammer arm. Excellent.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's great.
So that one's got the new Spartan, the Jumping Guillotine, a new variant of the Highlander, which will be like what? Variant number 3 of the Highlander. We got the Jumping Highlander, the regular Commissar Box Handline Highlander, and then this Highlander.
This guy.
And then a Guillotine? That's a different pose at least, right?
I already said that.
Okay.
I said Jumping Guillotine.
I was coughing my brains out over there a second.
And then we have the Franken-Mech, which is the harkens back to the old lore for Snores of Regulars. So we've got the Archer, the Rifleman, the Warhammer, and even the Phoenix Hawk Valkyrie. Oh God, it's an abomination. I don't want to look at it anymore. Please. Oh,
I need one.
This thing isn't a Flashman. No, what is it? That's a Spartan.
It's on the news. So if you open up the news link and you follow along, it says
I'm just looking at the picture of the Lance pack here. But anyways, wow.
The new Spartan.
The Spartan. It looks... All right, anyways.
You're fine.
It's a Spartan. Unique to the irregulars. I mean. All right. What else do we have?
Are we going to get a sheet for that Frankenmech? Is my question. Or is there going to be a card or something? Because all
we're
the other boxes...
We're supposed to get sheets. We're supposed to get sheets. Like, if you look on bg.battletech.com now under downloads, we're starting to see the force pack, the Battletech force pack record sheets for each of the things. So we've already got the Iridani Light Horse, the Hanson Rough Riders, the Kelhounds, Northwind Highlanders. So as those come out, we're supposed to get free downloads for those record sheets on the Battletech site.
Nice. So soon to come.
So yeah. These will all be available via regular distribution this spring and are not exclusives, but they will be available at Adepticon. So
correct. That's the exclusive part. So if you're at Adepticon, you have a chance of picking these up early. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait. But hopefully not too long.
We've got the first half of the Recognition Guides paper print, also known as Volume 1.
All right. Well,
that's the classics.
I want to call this the Grognard edition.
Hey, that's the one my pilot's in. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, we got all the classics on here. And I love the artwork too. It's like the
artwork's beautiful.
You can't sue me anymore.
Yeah.
Summary judgment or whatever the legalese. Yeah.
As the Macross fan, I'm like, I don't like it. What are y'all doing? Stay in your lane.
What is this weird?
I love it. I'm super excited. I'm upset, of course, the Shadowhawk is not on the cover, but whatever. It's in there.
And Volume 2 will have the second half, the ones with the vehicles and the new mechs.
Right, like the Contio and the Hammerhead and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, these will not have the record sheets in them like the PDF ones do. The record sheets will come out later at some point.
Yeah. So this is a technical readout style.
Yeah, exactly. This is a technical readout, just like all the other technical readouts. It's just that it's broken up into two volumes. They're going to be big enough already. You know, try and add record sheets, it would just be huge, massive.
I've been printing them. It would be about 700 pages thick.
Yeah.
800.
No joke. No joke at all.
Why are y'all doing this?
Because my phone doesn't load PDFs. That's why.
Technological Luddites. Uh-huh. Anyways, we got the next thing. We got those two neoprene mats that we talked about a couple episodes ago. The Aerobase number 1 and Aerobase number 2, which are 34 inches by 22 inches. The perfect, quote, they say it, not me, perfect 2-map size.
Well, yes, the battle mat is the perfect 2-map size for most games, but not for Alpha Strike. No. So, like, this is a beautiful map, and I would love to see this with hexes. Because it's a quarter of the size of the BFM,
mm-hmm.
and it's the one that has the airport parts on it. I would love to have these as hexed maps, but they're not. They're too small for Alpha Strike. Like even two of them put together, you can't get out of medium range. Really,
yeah, that's true.
So
they do look like they have the kind of hexagonal terrain shape. So maybe coming soon, there will be a hex version.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be nice, but the problem is that they have terrain printed on them, which makes them useless for Alpha Strike because Alpha Strike relies on 3D terrain.
This is a quandary for me.
So they still won't show us the aerobase sides, the cowards, which could just be the BFM.
Well, no, you've got the picture of it right there on the news page. If you scroll down, it shows the aerobase, it shows one of the runway parts.
Yeah, that's all, but they don't.
Not the whole thing, yeah.
But you can see that it's those same maps from the Desert Map Pack.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was getting at. Like, is this just the Desert Map Pack with another name on it?
100%.
Okay. That wasn't clear on the last time we looked at it.
Right. Well, it says Aerobase, and I think some of those maps from the Map Pack are labeled Aerobase 1 and Aerobase 2.
Mm.
That would have been good to know on the last time we talked about this, where I was like, I don't know what Aerobase 1 or 2 is.
I looked in between podcasts.
Okay.
I did research.
Okay, so this is not a new map.
No, this is not a new map.
Okay, they just are not calling it Desert 1.
Right, we weren't sure beforehand. We are sure now.
Okay.
What is 36? 360. Mm-hmm. So I know on a runway they drop the last letter. They round to the nearest. So 36. This is 360 degrees on a navigation ball or whatever.
It's supposed
Does that
to be
due north.
So yeah. All right. So that's the north. The north base was you come in going from south to north when you land or take off.
Nice.
My dad was a pilot, so I
Look at us using our brains.
We sometimes know things. Most of the time we don't, but most of us are pretty ambivalent with these maps. I think that's the consensus.
I would like to see them hexed. I think they're useless as Alpha Strike maps.
Continuing on for our useless for Alpha Strike, we have Counters Pack Alpha Strike.
Oh, no, I like that. I'm a fan of that. I've run a few Alpha Strike games with the box set at the Hangar 18 or at the local store. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I would love to have a couple of these on hand for setting up quickly. It's just so quick to set up with these things, so quick to tear down. And now
small
it has,
footprint.
You know, yeah, some water
when
on there too.
It down, yeah.
Love it. It'll fit in the box. Fantastic.
All right. So included in this, before y'all guys jump the gun so fast.
Tell us what's in it, Josh.
There we go. All right.
Tell us why you think that it's useless.
Included in the counters pack is three heavy stock reference sheets of the most commonly used game tables for Alpha Strike.
Okay.
You've got six punch boards, including additional movement markers, trees from the Alpha Strike box, as well as new terrain such as rivers, roads, large game templates, and more. I see a Long Tom template on the top of that.
Yeah.
So that's the good old 6-inch pie plate. And a second complete set of 15 fold-up cardstock buildings from the Alpha Strike box set.
Not bad.
So
it looks fantastic.
Got some. Do I see C3 markers on here? Some other stealth.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. All kinds of all the markers that we didn't already have, but everybody was using with third party markers anyway.
Yes, those are great to keep track of what's going on with your mechs.
Yep.
I mean, what is it? 2/3 of this is just stuff from the Alpha Strike box set, and
but it's more of it. So yay!
Just buy a second Alpha Strike box set.
But then you don't also get the rivers and the pie plate and the you know the roads and
rough
more
terrain.
Build. Yeah, you would get more buildings from that. But yeah, no, it's for instead of buying an $80 another box set, you know, it's $25 for a whole bunch more stuff. I'm down.
$25 for cardboard.
Yep, I would pay $25 for cardboard, 100%.
I like my nice 3D printed terrain.
And the reference sheets are for like the standard Alpha Strike Commander's Edition, and not just the one for the quick start rules that come in the box. So,
but if I had to travel real light and flat pack everything, yeah,
it comes in handy. All this. You take out the mech tray from the box, and you could put all of this stuff in there with the other one, and you're set.
Yeah. All right. What else do we have?
We got plushies.
More plushies.
I had an Urban Mech plushie once, but my girlfriend saw it, and now she has an Urban Mech plushie. So I think I need to get a replacement.
There you go.
So
what kind of plushies do we have?
Thank you. So we have the Urban Mech, which is a returning favorite, I guess.
It's the pirate paint scheme.
But this one is a new paint scheme, right?
Is that not the top one?
House
the
Liao?
Top one is the top one that's standing on the top of the pile is the pirate paint scheme. The one he's standing on is the Liao one.
Okay, so we've got a House Liao Urban Mech, which it looks mainly gray with green patches this time instead of mainly gray with also green patches.
A little bit
yellow and red.
In fact, we've gotten less colors now.
Yes,
this one has skulls on it. I think the mercenary one is. Or the pirate one's the best, but
we got the Phoenix Hawk from House Karita and Phoenix Hawk the 21st Centauri Lancers. So two Phoenix Hawks.
We got two of everything.
Okay, I see that now. We've got the Kelhounds Archer and the Wolf's Dragoons Archer, and the House Davian Atlas and the Eridani Light Horse Atlas.
Yep.
Whoever wants to do the $200 joke, you could do it with plushies.
I think they're
Davian. I'm sorry, they're not Steiner.
Yeah.
So,
never mind. You can't do the joke.
through salvage, all things are possible.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm a little surprised they didn't just do one mech for each faction, because it looks like we got Liao, Karita, Davian.
And we where's my out. Merrick, boys?
Yeah, where's Merrick and where's Steiner? Like, I feel a little weird.
Yeah, so you get, what, one house and one... No, you only got three houses and some mercenary
mercs,
units.
Mercs and pirates.
And one pirate.
Some people aren't loyal to a house, I guess.
I feel like I'm being overly judgmental and harsh on these, but I'm just.
They're not for you, though.
Yeah,
they're just not for you.
Another thing, probably not for me, is the Destiny Scale Marauder for a whopping 245 C-bills.
That is a lot.
My question here is: is this much larger than the museum scale stuff from Ironwind Metals? Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'll take it. I haven't seen it. Well, let me look at the picture. Is there a scale photo here?
So
that's well,
there's
pretty
one
big.
Next to a mini, but not one next to a museum scale. But yeah, it is several times larger than the museum scale.
Yeah, museum scale is like half as tall, so volumetrically much less.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty big. It's a big boy.
So this is going to be the limited release / con exclusive item. This is a quote test product with a questionable availability after Adepticon. So they don't even know if they're going to do these. I have high confidence they're going to sell out of however many they take to Adepticon.
Yes.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah. I will say definitely not a premium product, just that this is a large scale resin figure with cleanup and assembly required. And then I look and I'm like looking on the picture and some cleanups required on that picture they put out.
Right. I mean, I've got a large scale resin Timberwolf from way back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of cleanup that needs to be done, but a lot of resin models that I've picked up over the years, it's not an unusual thing.
Like no, I just
assembly and cleanup is required for these.
For $250, I would hope there would be some pre-done cleanup and assembly.
Traditionally, that is not the case. Like okay. for any company, not just Catalyst. That's for resin model owners. They know that there is going to be cleanup.
I will
as a Forge World enthusiast, that is not an argument. You know, I'm trying to make. I'm part of me is trying to make the. At every store I see a, you know, MechWarrior Online ripped 3D print Marauder.
Mm-hmm.
How is this different?
I mean, I guess it's official.
This is legal and official.
Yes. I mean, look,
I'm not going to be getting one, but that's mostly because I hate Marauders. So send your hate mail. There's too many variants. It's just too many. I had to print like another 14 Marauder variants tonight. And that's just from the rec guide.
Yeah, it's just paper. But no, seriously, it's like, this is for the, okay, we have a legal retail for giant resin Marauders.
Mm-hmm.
What says Destiny scale? I didn't realize, honestly, that Destiny had a scale. I should have known that, being that my name is in the book. I just don't remember using a scale for anything that I did. Like, at most, we used chess pieces while we were doing range things.
So
I missed
there's
that
actually a Destiny scale elemental for sale.
They're going to be... I guess the plan would be to release some pilots maybe one day.
They already have them.
Oh, they...
This is
the
not...
More you know.
Destiny scale is not a new thing.
Wow, I totally missed that.
Well, now you can paint your Destiny figure and stick it next to their mech, which is a Marauder, which is kind of cool.
There are two pilots and an elemental, if I remember right.
Oh.
Nice.
The moral of the story is Josh is not going to be buying the Destiny scale Marauder.
I need to use things, and I don't see how I can use this.
So you're not going to buy
Destiny.
I don't either, but man. I didn't realize that this was a test product. I missed that second paragraph. So I was all in the whole, well, yeah, well, I'll pick one up later. But now I'm like, damn, I mean, there might not be a later. And you know, sure, I could go 3D print all my cool stuff like Dustin did because his trophies look so fantastic. I want all of those.
All right. So next we have the Mercenaries Kickstarter launch parties. We've got a few already announced, and there's actually going to be a significantly less amount of them than I thought there were.
Me too.
Yeah. But I guess Catalyst is picking up some of this tab, so they probably have a budget. They're probably trying to stick to it. So,
well, yeah, and they've got product that they have to mail out to all of these places and hopefully get there in time for Adepticon. And, I mean, some of these are out of the U.S., so, man, they really should have already shipped them.
Wow.
Yeah, because we have, Canada, Germany, U.K. to be announced, and Ireland.
Impressive.
Yeah, and out of the five, I guess there's really six if you count Adepticon itself, but five that are in the U.S. and only two have been officially announced so far.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out to Hangar 18 right here. Local boys represent
South Carolina.
We are the why is Southeast it that, US people, yeah.
Why is it that our local gaming store is one of the five US stores to play BattleTech, and me and you would be going to Adepticon?
I would love to say that I had something to do with that, but I didn't at all.
Maybe you did, and you just don't know it.
Well, that I mean, sure. Like, it's a very popular store to play BattleTech at. I thought they were competing for like all of North Carolina, not all of the Southeast United States. But yeah, like they will be having that party, and I will be at Adepticon.
Wap wap. Unfortunately,
celebrating with them, yeah, virtually.
You're gonna be there.
Yeah,
I'm spirit. Interested to see. What the launch party will entail.
Well, hopefully the schedules line up that you, Dustin, will be over there to help out, which will be super appreciated.
Yeah, hopefully.
So we'll get the coverage from Adepticon and the launch party.
That's right. That's We're splitting our forces here.
360 coverage. Coming in hot, 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 hot. All right. So we round all of this BattleTech news up with the Phoenix Hawk premium miniature. Because we've waited so long, they used the word premium. I didn't use the word premium. They used the word premium multi-part plastic miniature of the Phoenix Hawk.
If I can, I mean, yeah, I'm going to buy it, of course. But can I say that I really, really, really hope that they include a gun hand for the left arm as well as the right for some of my favorite variants?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I really like that.
It looks like all they have is standing or kneeling.
With only one gun.
Not even jumping.
Yeah, I'm...
So, quick edit. We have seen the premium Phoenix Hawk miniature in real life now, and it only has right arm laser and two pairs of legs, either standing or kneeling, and the left arm... pairs are just slightly different, so it's the same variant, just kneeling or standing.
So that depends on if I'm going to buy one or more than one of this. That's what that means.
Is denim the pay pig of
yeah
hey bro, this is a substandard item. Also, it costs more than normal denim. I'll take one.
Just one, please. Just one.
Realistic, what are our thoughts? We got to do the whole lineup. We've had Black Knight, Stormcrow, and then drop off. We've had the Wolfhound. We've had the Mad Cat, the Hammerhead. That's then the Heiress. And now the Phoenix Hawk for number five. So for number five, we've got Phoenix Hawk.
Did we miscount? Is that number five or number six? That sounds like number six to me.
Black Knight, Stormcrow from, but we're not counting those because that was a different distributor.
Oh, we're not counting those.
At least I'm not.
Okay, so we're starting with the Wolfhound.
I mean, would you like to count the Black Knight and Stormcrow?
I don't know. That's a good question. I forgot that they had switched up, but you had said that on your list. And so my brain is like, that wasn't the right number.
I was very excited for the premium miniatures, and now I feel like they're kind of losing me. Like, they kind of blew it out of the park with Hammerhead. Like, this is how we're going to do Ill Clan new stuff.
Yeah, see, the hammerhead, a concho, something like that. Like that, I was excited.
Yeah. And now, they're going back to...
I also thought that that was, they're going to release all their... Because we knew it was happening, but, back when they started releasing the first couple rec guides, you're like, oh, every now and then there's a new mech. Where's that going to come from? And then we're like, oh, it looks like the new mech is going to come from the premium line.
So it would have been so cool. So cool.
And then it didn't happen. Maybe there were business reasons that didn't happen. Maybe that was the intention. Maybe that was always the plan, and then it just didn't work out. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah, they didn't invite me to that meeting.
Yeah, I'm not. That's like above my pay grade. You guys getting paid?
Well, we won't be able to, answer that. These are just things on my mind that I feel like I need to put out in the air. Like, I'm not
speculate.
Yeah.
Like speculation.
Yeah. I'm not super enthused. Like, I'm not happy buying a Phoenix Hawk when I already have multiple Phoenix Hawks.
I don't like the Phoenix Hawk that much.
Yeah.
So just as a mech, as an aesthetic. On the denim scale, we got some bad things.
Okay.
I would say.
Okay. I'll just edit
it. It was not bathed in glory, which is a surprise.
Oh, I'm not buying the Hexless Aerobase maps.
There's okay, there we go.
There's no way.
I'll cut that and put it here. It's like, I'm not buying that.
I'm not doing it.
Watch all as right. I edit Dustin to be the hype man and denim to be downer.
It's just that soundbite. I'm not buying that over and over. I'm not buying that.
Love it. All right, so that's everything for Adepticon and the Mercenary Kickstarters, launch parties, and the new products. So out of all this, I'm hypest for the proliferation cycle and unhypest for the premium miniature. Denim, what is your hype, no hype?
Hypest? Wow, that's so tough. There's so many good things. I mean, obviously, I'd have to say the Wreck Guide Volume 1 because I'm in it, but
You get
proliferation pack.
Okay.
Proliferation. I'm so excited. Like that is, I was not expecting that. I think that's fantastically awesome. My no hype is the Hexless aerobase battle mats. Don't like them.
Yeah. All right, Dustin.
I don't want to repeat. Probably
you can repeat. We can all be the three same persons in one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm from the list. We have the proliferation pack. I'm hype about that. I'll throw a curveball in there. I'm really hyped because the Destiny scale Marauder reminded me that there's a museum scale Timberwolf, and I'll probably be purchasing that once I meet my hobby goals, because I do want to do a large scale mech. And then my least hype, I'm not going to buy the Phoenix Hawk, and I'm not going to buy the Alpha Strike game mats. So not very hyped on those.
Okay.
How about you, Josh? About the same?
No, he did his first.
We did his first?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just guess I wasn't here for that one. I was just checked out.
It's okay. It's all right. My own little world. So that's all of our Catalyst news. That's a lot of minutes.
A lot of news.
They drop, multiple products, and it's like, okay.
Hey, at least games played is going to be easy for me.
That's right.
We have Megamech 49.12 being released. So, Denim, you've probably gotten the most time on this since it's released. Why don't you break us down what's new?
I mean, I've installed it, so that's about it. But I know that you can now print Alpha Strike cards from the Megamech program.
That's kind of cool.
But the big thing is there is a much improved search function. The advanced unit search has been redone and is now one of the most powerful out there to find units, including a quirk search. The ability to show the game board in all phases is now available. The unit tooltips have had improvements, and the data being shown is huge, including long requested things like bombs on board.
Do I still have to jump through JavaScript hoops to use this?
Oh, yeah, you still have to install the Adoptium Java thing, but all that's on their page.
I know.
Linked as well. But yes, they are never going back to the old Java. It's not powerful or secure enough for this anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a thing that everybody will be going to that Java eventually.
Okay, so eventually I won't have to jump through the hoop.
Right, because eventually that's just computer. Going to be Java, yeah.
Okay, great, great.
Okay. Right. So that's enough for news. I'm tired of news by now. Let's get into some hobby progress. What all of us have been doing in the last, week and a half since the last episode. All right, so let me start this off. So I've mainly been stressing because I've got to pack and get ready for Adepticon and pick out what list I'm going to take for my four events and how I'm going to do all of that in, my mini Battletech case, because I'm not taking everything. No. I'm too efficient for that.
Got travel light.
Yeah, so I'm doing...
You can't check a bag anymore, right?
Oh, something like
that. Costs like, what, $200 to check a bag these days?
Don't scare me like that. I don't need to hear that right now.
It's just a backpack. It's all you're allowed to take on a plane these days.
But yeah, so I've actually been like, okay, I get to take, X-Mechs, and I have to pick, and it's like, okay, I can use X amount for one event, and I have to use like 60% of that for the rest of the event, so... You're not going to see super weird, crazy tripod stuff for me this time around, guys.
So you're kind of bringing a master list, and then you got to break that into all your different events, basically.
Yeah.
You have.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Sounds like a lot of stress.
Yeah, I mean, not too much stress. I mean,
okay.
I did relieve some of my battle stress from... I bought way too many Power Armor Light from Fortress Miniatures this week. Nice. As I look at the table, I bought a level 2 of Tornado Power Armor, a level 2 of Hurricane Battle Armor.
Whoa.
I bought 2 Chaparral Artillery Tanks, because I've been needing those. I bought some of the new Phobos pre-printed hex bases, because I'm being real efficient here, boys. I'm not doing my own bases. I'm just pre-printing.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Rob, I even paid the rush shipping on those, which was only like 50 cents more than regular shipping.
Really?
Yeah, it was stupid. I was like, I need these today. I was like, mental note, Josh did not need those that day.
But for 50 cents, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
No, Fortress is awesome.
Yeah, so it's been purchasing and list building for me. But nice. Like I said, now I have 3 out of the 6 types of Power Armor Light in the game.
I think you like light Power Armor.
Why is that, though?
Don't know.
They fly.
Why do you like experimental stuff? You're just wired that way, man.
Wired wrong. I will say, though, like, light Power Armor is cool because it's like you don't have to really know any of the weird rules. I say that knowing that all of them are weird rules, but normally they're
but
just
you
like,
know all the real weird rules, so that's what's important to you.
No, the reason why I like them is because A, they're cheap. B, because they have a gun that like normally does something that's not just small laser. And C, they have like 1 health, so when they get shot, they die and they never have to worry about them again.
Don't forget to equip the gun in Mega Mech.
Don't bring it up again. But that's my hobby progress. What about you, Jenim?
Yeah, my hobby progress has been literally losing days, laying in bed, alternating between shivering and sweating to death while trying to not die. Yeah. So
Did you catch the influenza?
Yeah, I caught the flu. Yeah. And then that turned into a sinus infection. I have been out of commission for over a week. Just not able to do anything, go anywhere. It's been bad.
Yeah.
Real bad. I
caught the flu in spring last year, and it was awful. It's miserable.
Yeah.
It's
like this is not what I wanted to do instead of prepping and packing for Adepticon and getting ready for the launch party. And yeah, there's too much stuff to do. And now I've lost a week of work.
Yeah.
So
no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a fun next couple of weeks.
Well, I'm glad you're able to sit.
I am. I can sit up straight and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to the flu.
I wonder what it's like to be sick.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I say that from my, hermetically sealed cockpit.
Yeah. I was going to say.
All right. Life support's running at 110%, boys. But I'm sorry to hear that, Denim. Dustin, what have you been up to?
As related to Battletech, just read my book club book, printing off about 800 record sheets tonight and yesterday. And that's it. That's pretty much it.
Battletech. So how are you organized? Because my organizing, I've just got them organized by rec guide. So I have a cover sheet with the this is the rec guide. These are the mechs that are in that. I don't have it listed by variant. You'll have to flip through them. That's how I have them organized. So you just flip to the rec guide that you want and find the name of the mech that you want, and then you can find the rec shirt sheet.
Yeah, I'm going to be, depending on how much there is when I'm all done with it, because the printer's like still printing while we're talking.
Yeah. Oh, forever.
I'm going to go, I definitely by tonnage, so they're all going to be divvied up, and all the 90-tonners will be with each other.
Oh, interesting.
95s and 100s, so they're all in stacks. I got my whole dining room table full of, you know, 25 through 100 and five ton increments. And then I'll have a separate book for the vehicles and the battle armor. Cause I think that'll be, so that is my hobby progress.
It counts.
Yep. Been doing lots of modular synthesizer stuff instead of Battletech these past couple weeks, but I'm back on, I've got the, it's cooking. I'm printing the sheets. I'm back in the Battletech mode. So
cool. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I got nothing, and I won't for a while. So I'm sorry. I apologize, all of our listeners.
Don't get sick.
Yeah, don't get sick. Don't, that's my advice.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll break into that good old HPG output. And see what all the fans have been listening to.
Yeah, I think the Aztecs are done sorting.
Rev up those reactors, because I sure am hungry for some sea bills. Us here in the Crescent Hawks are looking for talented mech warriors with the drive to win it big. You may know me, Jason Youngblood, from your favorite holo recording of The Secrets of the Phoenix Hawk Lamb, Wrestling with the Dragon, and Operation Liberty. But today, I'm giving you the chance to prove your worth on the battlefield and live out your dreams of fame and fortune. I'm holding trial to Ark Royal this June to select the next generation of Hawks, so come on down. Put your money where your mech is and prove that you have what it takes to be a part of the best mercenaries in the Inner Sphere.
All right, everyone. The prayer finally stopped, so we're grabbing that paper and we're rolling with the first question to come off. And that is us talking about mail call. So
mail call.
Do you guys remember that mail call show? Was it mail call?
Oh, yeah.
With...
It was the sergeant who played
Arlie Ernie.
Yeah, mail call. Of course, I watched that. Wasn't it the History Channel or whatever? Driving around in the old school Jeep with the of course.
Just my brain triggered, and I was like, oh god, I'm bird walking myself again.
Oh god.
Memory.
Jeeps and tanks and Ernie are all related to Battletech somehow.
Retro tech
somehow.
But yes, for mail call, starting off, we've got Steve Mizell writing, "Hey guys, I have slowly been attempting to expand my local Battletech network and have managed to drag a few people kicking and screaming into the hobby. However, our local group is still pretty small. What are your recommendations for tricking people into trying the game, and what can I do to help ensure they come back?" How can you trick people to get into the hobby and stay?
I can tell you what worked for me, because we did grow ours, as I've mentioned many times. And the trick is to have a day that is Battletech day. It can be once a month, it can be once a week, whatever it is, make it that day, put it on the calendar, always be there or have somebody there so that people just know, even if they're not there that day, they can be there another day. And then it grows from there, because then people hear about it. People get excited about it. People walk by and they're like, oh, you guys were doing this last week. Is this a thing? And you're like, yes. And that's, so it's not a fast thing. Like it took years for our store to grow. It will happen though. And just one day you'll look around and there's going to be 20 something people there every week.
So consistency is the key.
Consistency. Yes.
Yeah. I, for my notes for this mail question, I have one bullet point and it's show up. Yeah. I like denims, you know, make a date.
It's got to be on the calendar.
Show up every week.
You have to have it on a calendar so that you can point to it and say that this is when the next one is.
I mean, so that's how to keep people coming back. What are your recommendations for tricking people to trying the game?
Oh, okay. I've got that one. This happens a lot at our store where people will come by and they'll be like either, oh, what's this game? Or, oh, wow, Battletech. I haven't played that in forever. And the trick there is to make sure that you're in a game where you can say, yeah, sit down, just roll this for me.
Yeah.
You just get them to pick up some dice and then they're hooked.
Yeah.
Like that's, you can't let them say, I'm just watching. I just want to watch. You're like, that's great. Have a seat. You know, let's talk about it. And while you're doing that, look, I'm doing this. Roll these for me. You know, just here, put dice in their hands, get them to take control of a mech and the rest will take care of itself.
I think Josh has witnessed me like slide a record sheet over in a pair of dice. Yeah. Like, here you go, bud. Here's the mech. Yeah.
Don't worry now about the rules. We'll help you take care of that. Here's the.
Yeah, we'll cover the rules as they come. Here you go. This is how you move. Right. This is how you shoot your gun. Have fun.
No, I like that. Just get them playing. If they don't want to stick with it, don't force them because you want volunteers, not conscripts.
Yeah. Right.
But once they're gotten the taste, just consistently like, hey, we're going to do this every other Tuesday.
Right. And if you don't have stuff, that's okay. I have stuff for you. I do. Just show up. You don't need to bring anything. Now, if you do, we'll get your mech in the game and it'll be fun. But if not, yeah.
All right. Follow-up question. Does Denim prefer quarters or nickels?
I mean, 100% quarters. Like, not only are they actually a little bit lighter than nickels, you know, for the impact factor, but they're worth five times the value when I go picking them up afterwards. So please wrap your dollar bills in nickels, in quarters, and just throw those. Don't deal with nickels at all.
I Googled, what's the value of each coin? And Google has to give me like, a nickel is worth 5 cents and a quarter is worth 25. No, I'm looking for what is the like material value.
Right.
Oh, God, I hate you, Google, right now so much. Anyways, thank you, Steve. Let's move on. Next one. We've got Will Donta. Will writes, what is the worst weapon type and why is it blazers? First off, Will, you're quite wrong. And blazers are awesome because we took one large laser, which is cool, and we put it together with a second large laser, which is also cool. And cool plus cool equals twice as cool with a slight reduction in cool efficiency. So like 1.8 cool units. But that's just me. So what do you guys think is actually the worst weapon then?
I really think like the normal standard AC5 is pretty bad.
Even with alternate ammunition.
Nope. Not talk about precision ammo and all that. I'm just talking about the weapon itself is just
bad.
It's just like, I'd rather have the light AC5 and precision ammo or, you know, armor piercing, whatever.
But an intro tech AC5 is just bad and you should not take them ever.
I think so. Yeah.
I have a special hatred for the inner sphere. Laser.
All right. Yep. All right. No, I bow to you, Dustin. If we're not going to intertech, inner sphere medium pulse laser is on my hate list.
What? Y'all are so wrong.
Hate it so much. Ugh.
Well, what's your hate weapon?
How about you, Josh? Yeah.
We know you like blazers.
I do like blazers.
What don't you like?
I like blazers enough I buy mechs that are specifically blazer-oriented. Machine gun? Just regular machine gun? In fact, all machine guns?
I would say the machine gun for me. I agree with the machine gun because of the 200 rounds of ammo in a ton. I hate that. I think that's...
Do you think machine guns should just get rid of the ammo? I mean, I know we can't like go back in time and say machine guns are ammo-less. Like the ammo is contained with the ammo.
Free ammo.
That would help it a lot.
And just convert that machine gun ammo to a machine gun.
Just assume you're not going to run out of ammo.
And
you get rid of the 400 point bomb inside of you.
I say you turn it into... you get rid of the ammo, right? But it does no damage to mechs, but it retains its like infantry mincing abilities.
That's not bad.
I like that. Yeah. So that's my hot take. If you hate machine guns, maybe you aren't playing with enough infantry.
I play and nobody brings infantry. Nobody brings random infantry. You know what they bring? Power armor light. Wait, maybe I'm playing against myself too much. All right. Favorite and least favorite lore characters. I see the trend this person's going for. Oh, favorite character?
I've got a hot take for that one.
Okay, you
not,
roll
not
off
favorite, then. Like the Do least favorite. One of my favorites was Grace and Death Carlisle because it was, you know, once again, was my first novel entering into there. But for the least favorite, and I like this series of books, I don't like Joanna's character from the Jade Falcons. I don't like her. Like, I'm not going to say she's not well written. I'm going to say that her character doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And so whenever I read about her, I just kind of roll my eyes a little bit.
Yeah. For me, let's do favorite. Favorite would probably be Phelan Kell, because he's just got good character arc.
Very good writing for that.
Least favorite is Malvina Hazen Hazan. Just too much. And then I had to read the book where her and her brother, and it's all rough, guys. It's just real rough.
I'd still take her over Joanna for reading, though.
Josh, you have any hot takes?
Do I go with Vlad Ward for my least favorite?
Ah, what a punk.
I mean, really, it's like,
so I'm so angry. Phelan's, he's getting all the attention and not me. I'm the better mech warrior.
No, that pretty much sums up all of my emotions. For favorites, I don't have one because I feel
Kai Allard Leo then, because he was my other favorite, but I couldn't pick him over Carlisle. But yeah.
I mean, like, I like Anastasius Focht, but I only like him in a few of the books and not other books because it's like he's written differently. So it's like it's very easy to have a least favorite and very hard to have a favorite that's written consistently throughout their entire Battletech career. Yeah. And that's my non-answer for the answer.
Kai Allard was good though.
I didn't like him at all.
Oh, man.
He is my third least favorite. I'll put it that way.
Wow.
Be good enough.
He is the whiniest, best. Whiniest kid in Battletech.
You know what? I just realized exactly what he is. He is Maximilian Sterling from Robotech.
Max was cool, and I'm cutting this part out just because I don't want you to.
It's the same. Nope. I'm not good enough, and yet
cutting
he's
it
the
out
best
for time. I'm cutting it out for time. All right. Bits that had to be cut. No,
I changed my answer. It's Sun Tzu Liao because he punched out of a Battlemaster in the most
second least
way
favorite
ever.
Character. What is everyone's guilty pleasure TV show? Not Battletech related, but I'm going to entertain it anyways. Guilty pleasure TV show.
Community. I'll watch that over and over.
Office. It's just a guilty pleasure. Can I really watch The Office 5 times? I mean, we're working on it.
Y'all are the most like vanilla latte dudes I've ever met.
I was going to say Schitt's Creek too, but you know.
Community's hilarious.
Editing this in, my guilty pleasure watching on the TV is all of the Zack Snyder superhero DC movies because they're not worth my time to watch them as they come out. They're just worth it for me to sit on the couch and turn off my brain.
It has to be guilty
pleasure.
I don't
watch TV.
Josh.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, like that's the problem.
Then how can you like call us vanilla when you don't even watch the vanilla? So you know, screw that. you cannot complain about our picks if you don't have a pick. That's not allowed.
It's not allowed, but it's what I have to go with until I edit and answer it. And how about that?
Yeah.
I don't even understand this next one.
Wait. You're not going to skip the After Dark bits that had to be cut?
Oh,
an After
we've
Dark
talked about
episode
that, before,
that
right?
is just. It's just Denim's palette clicks, me clicking the pin and moving my mic, and
Josh yelling at us.
Josh going so and yelling at us, and it's just 20 minutes
of Josh yelling.
It's just the worst.
40 minutes of incoherent sounds that would drive anyone to rage.
Yeah, it would be all far right. More boring than you think it would be.
If ghost bear friend shaped, why not friend?
I don't think I'm smart enough for this.
It's got to be a meme of some sort.
I don't get it.
Nope. Yeah. You get to delete one faction. Which one is it, and how would you have it happen?
Oh man, I would delete the Smoke Jaguars, and I'd have them like be the target of
the Oberon Confederation.
I would delete Comstar. Oh wait.
I can't.
Yeah, doesn't just about every faction get sort of deleted?
And then sort of comes back, and then you know.
Let's see. It hasn't happened to the Steiners or the Davians or the Draconis Combine.
Kind of.
Free Worlds League definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. Liao. Yeah, Liao never got destroyed. They just got ignored.
Yeah, every other week they almost got destroyed. Yeah.
Here's my hot take. Almost. Merrick gets deleted. And you know why?
My pearls. Because
they never really do anything significant.
How dare you?
Like, they're always the bridesmaid, never the bride in any, like, major event.
I feel so attacked.
And how I would have it happen is it just dissolves. Like, the Free Worlds League just dissolves.
It just balkanizes and then disappears.
All the factions around it just like scoop up their handful, and it's like, all right, that's how it happened.
All right, we're gone. Yeah,
I'm sorry, but that's my hot take.
I would delete Clan Wolf. They lose. It's over. No more plot armor for them. Take it.
But how would it happen, though?
How would it happen? They lost.
Rewind it like 2 years and do it.
Yep. That's my alternate inning. And then everybody has to live under my least favorite Battletech character, Malvina Hazen. Just to make sure that the wolves lose once. They have to lose. They can't win forever. Anyways, that's how I did it.
Then I'm still thinking, so I'm going to.
I got nothing for this one.
They're all too precious. They're too precious. But also hates them.
Not equally. He loves them too. Yeah, I love them all. Just
Daddy, which one? Am I your favorite? No, I love you all equally.
Yeah. I don't have a good answer for that one.
Lame.
Sorry.
All right, we got Jason Hansa. He writes, wait, isn't this the Jason Hansa, author of the brand new Eridani Light Horse, Innocent Defenseless? Yes, it is.
Hi, Jason
writes, Star Wars Legion is implementing a sort of tube-looking item to determine line of sight. This way, any part of the mini outside the tube won't count for line of sight. Think General Grievous' arms or jumping Mandalorians. Would this be a good addition to Alpha Strike so players can feel like they use the new jumping mechs without being penalized, or conversely, to help establish a predetermined minimum height? Denim, tell me I'm crazy, but didn't there used to be size templates in the Alpha Strike book? Like, they were like squares or rectangles, and it was like 2 inches for a mech and like half that size for a proto mech, and vehicles were just the mech one turned over or something.
Josh, you are 100% crazy. However, you are also correct. In the Alpha Strike compendium that came out before the books got squished together, there was a practical line of sight templates, and on one of the pages that had one for infantry and vehicles, one for proto mechs, one for mechs, one for super heavy mechs, that you could use to say this is the hitbox for these, no matter what the actual mini is, this is the hitbox.
Yeah, I like it.
I mean, so this gets all those like, hey, I've played so many miniature war games that the I gave my guy a flag to hold and someone saying, yeah. Well, the rules say any line of sight to the model and the top of your flag is part of the model. So I can shoot your guy by shooting the flag. And you just have to look at this person in the eyes and be like, bro, I get one day out of the month to play. You're going to do this to me because I have a baseball bat. Not enough will to live anymore. So yeah,
none of that silliness. Yeah, if there's any question, just go by these templates. If you really want to, but I haven't in the games of Alpha Strike I've played, it hasn't been that big of an issue yet. If you've got the like the skinnier awesome from the older ones, or like the Atlas that skipped leg day, you know,
yeah,
it's not going to make that much difference.
Or the ballerina catapult,
exactly. So. You know, just kind of get the general shape of the mech and not necessarily like each individual little line.
I just measured the Highlander. Yeah. The standard Highlander is 2 1/4 inches tall. The Jumping Crusader with its weird like jump jet things are 2 3/8 inches tall. So
yeah,
that is not significant enough to count for anything. Looking at
for
this,
you or me, it's not. Yeah. For that guy who's shooting your flag, you know, that's a big deal.
It counts.
So yeah. So there is. So download the Alpha Strike Companion/Compendium. All right. We've got another one. Stealing a thread from the forums. What product would you like to see that would make sure to lose money for CGL? Not like bring the Wolverines back kind of stuff. I mean, bring back Tyco G.I. Joe scale battle mechs kind of silliness. This includes niche products, dumb maps, faction-specific box sets. Truly, the dumber, the better. The dumbest product...
I don't have a dumb one. Yeah, sorry.
Oh.
I got a brilliant product that would certainly lose money for CGL. The amount of money they would have to spend on it would...
How do we bankrupt CGL money? Question.
Yeah, exactly.
I want a list building app that's like the master unit list and Battle Scribe Army Battle Builder Scribe. From Infinity had a little baby, and it has all the Alpha Strike cards and all the classic BattleTech record sheets in the app, and it's very searchable and has a great user interface like Battle Scribe and Army Builder from Infinity and the master unit list, which is an okay user interface, but it's on the internet and kind of hard to use. But yeah, I think that app would cost like lots of thousands of dollars and would probably lose BattleTech money or CGL. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's not a dumb product, but
like I said, mine's not a dumb product either, but it would cost them a lot of money and they don't have the numbers to make it profitable. I want a Netflix TV series. That would cost them way too much money. Yeah. And they wouldn't recoup it, but that's what I want. I desperately want one.
Y'all have no imagination for dumbest products.
I want a one-to-one scale Atlas.
I saw yours, Josh, and I'm like, I can't beat that. I can't.
All right. I'm excited now. What is it?
I'm looking at all you guys, all you BattleTech players/listeners. I've been around you at cons. I know exactly how you are. I say that going to exactly one con. Dumbest product I'd want to see that would slowly bankrupt CGL is them to go full in on a line of BattleTech body pillows, the Natasha Kerensky body pillow. But knowing BattleTech fans, it would somehow still make money. It would slowly drain the Catalyst coffers, but not fast enough. Bonus points if the other side is Star Colonel Kristen Redmond from the cartoon with the eye patch.
She was hot.
Brilliant.
So that is my CGL lose money? And it's because...
We got to have Grayson with the blonde hair and the bandana, you know? Like
okay, so that's how we actually do it. They market it as Natasha Kerensky and Kristen Redmond, but when it actually gets delivered, it's just Grayson and, you know, Phelan Kell.
And like Lincoln Osis. That's a big body pillow.
Elemental size. What's it?
Yeah. Oh, it's got to be the comfiest body pillow.
Elemental size body pillow.
Man, I might want to snuggle up to that. That sounds comfy.
Not the pillow pet, but the snuggle blanket thingy, the blanket you can wear. What's the name?
It's a Snuggie, I think.
Snuggies. Oh, okay. Snuggie. It wasn't as funny coming out of my mouth, apparently. All right. next one. I assume you've played Scattergories, but for those who haven't, I'll explain the rules. Everyone is given a sheet of questions. For example, name a sports team, then a letter is rolled on the dice, pretending it's a B. You have to answer using that letter again. But if anyone else has the same letter, neither of you get to use that point. So you're playing Scattergories, but for Alpha Strike. After lists are built, if your specific variant, say a Mad Cat Prime, for example, matches one taken by anyone else, you both have to drop it from your list for the day. What are your deep cuts? Mm. What faction has a big enough bench you feel confident you could still field a full Alpha Strike list no one else will duplicate? You may include uniques or experimentals.
If you're doing factions, then you pick Liao because they got the weird mechs that no one else has. So as long as no one else picks Liao, you're fine.
That's true. Did we see any Liao lists at Southern Assault? We had other bad people. We had Falcons. We had Smoke Jaguars. We had we even had Word of Blake.
Hey, Smoke Jaguar did really well at Nova. Thank you very much.
I'm just saying. I don't know. The local, see, it's different. If I were going to an event, my answer would be different because if I was playing local, I would take Jade Falcons because nobody seems to play Jade Falcons. We don't have any Falcon local lists. Players. Yeah, we don't.
I would take the Comstar Blessed Order, which is 50% uniques.
Then I'd take the Blake Celestials.
See, but I've ran into those. Yeah. I've ran into the Blake Celestials.
At Southern Assault. There was a whole Blake Celestial, but like I said, you know, if I was going to a place like Southern Assault, like the Oberon Confederation, who's going to have that? But I guess if the chassis is picked, you have to drop it. I don't know that they have access to a specially unique chassis.
Yeah, well, it says Mad Cat Prime, for example, so it has to be the exact variant.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one's taking the C3I unique Mad Cat variant.
Yeah, some society stuff.
Society. You know. There we go.
I think
society auto wins. Because, I don't like it's such a short window.
I know
no one is taking Protomex and improved ATM Turkinas.
Man, I love some improved ATMs.
Yeah, I know one person.
They're scary.
Yeah, I know one person who plays society and they're on the internet and I've never seen them in real life.
They're not even in the United States.
No, they're not. I think they're Canadian.
All righty. Next one. Morgan writes, our group is getting to Alpha Strike. Most of us are old classic guys from the FASA days. Been playing off and on for 37 years. With Alpha Strike, it would be relatively easy to run a campaign game. Is there anything out there? If not, let's put some building blocks together to get it rolling. I'm pretty sure... what was I going to say?
Well, yeah, 100%.
There's Alpha Strike alternates for all the missions.
So, like, the Battle of Tukiid book, like, it is designed for Alpha Strike or for Classic. A lot of the Turning Point books, that the PDFs that you can get off of the Catalyst site, they also have Alpha Strike-specific things and rules in there. There are a lot of products out there for running pickup game or...
Error reports.
You know, campaigns and scenarios for that. So they're out there. You just got to look and you got to read.
Yeah. If you're playing, like, I would go for the error reports too, especially if you're playing in a specific time, like error report 3039 or whatever. Because they're going to give you, like Denim said, either you can play it classic style or you can play Alpha Strike, and it's all written. The missions are there. You can plug and play them.
Yep. Sometimes they'll say, like, you know, the conversion is, it's either like 2 hexes or 4 inches, depending on if you're playing Classic or Alpha Strike for setting up the map. But it has the rule conversions in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tukiid, Battle of Tukiid, one of the best that I've seen that covers both.
I'm going to have to agree. Tukiid's probably the best. And they also write like they want a big game board with territory to conquer and some rules. I'm like, bro, you want the Battle of Toolkit. You want to spend an entire month playing games and each day is a different battle. Like, do it. Do it. All right, we got Andrew Weisner. Andrew writes, I'm pretty sure I heard Dustin refer to long-range missiles as LERMS, spelled L-E-R-M-S, sort of rhyming with worms, instead of L-R-M-S. Is that right? My buddies and I always called them LERMS. We also call short-range missiles SERMs and an autocannon 10 in ACK 10. I mentioned this on Facebook a while ago, and it was met with overwhelming opposition. But I still think it makes sense. What do you think?
ACK 10 is cursed. You are cursed. That's M-Laser territory right
there. M-Laser.
M-Laser. Okay, I have used, in the past and the present, both LRMs and LERMs. I think when I started, it just depends on the day of the week, really. SRMs, SRMs, I think I've used them. ACs, I've always, AC-10, AC-5, never.
Yeah. If I'm being serious, I'll say LRM, SRM. If I'm being silly, I'll say LERM or M-Laser. But in for reals, I say LRM, SRM.
This is, and I've this never, is the... I've, this is technical. Heard... Denim's just, you're too slow and you're breaking up. And I'm just like, I'm taking it. Because, mister, I'm going to mute myself. And then after Justin's done talking, I'm going to interrupt Josh.
I was eating.
I know. So you got to wait for it to go back around to you then. You know how this works. So it's the technical talk versus the battlefield jargon is my like canon reason. It's like if I'm writing up like the battle report, it's like 15 LRMs fired on my mechs. And then it's like me fighting. It's like, we got LRMs, man. We got LRMs in the air.
Yeah, incoming LRMs.
100%. Yep.
We got an ACK 10. Yeah. Like, I like it for battlefield speak, but I don't like it for technical, like reading it out. Because that's less syllables is better when I'm fighting.
If I'm teaching a person, if I've got people there who are learning the game, I will definitely make sure to say it the way that I was taught.
Long
so, but once I'm playing if we're playing the campaign games, you say whatever you want because once again, like Josh said, it's battlefield talk. So I like it. I wouldn't ridicule you. I mean, for whatever you say, even if you said something like Gauss instead of Gauss.
You can't read ahead.
I didn't read ahead.
I will shoot both of you and get new co-hosts so fast.
I didn't see that part.
One more question.
It's the very next thing.
How do you pronounce Gauss rifle? For me, it rhymes with mouse rifle.
Yeah, Gauss. The Gauss rifle.
Gauss. I know it's wrong. I know like it's German and it's the correct pronunciation would be Gauss rifle.
Yeah.
Oh, is that why? Oh, okay. I like both of them. I really like Gauss rifle. Gauss rifle sounds stuffy to me.
It should sound stuffy. It should. It's a weapon of mass destruction designed by a foreign power, so it's got to sound stuffy.
Yeah, just double check. It is how do you it do is it, supposed yeah, to be you Gauss, it. But I will not pronounce it Gauss. Because I heard it the first way, Gauss. And that has ruined my long-term memory for that.
I'm not going to yell at you if you pronounce it Gauss, but I will pronounce it Gauss.
Alrighty.
The inner sphere is a big place, folks. Pronounce
Thank
things
you,
how you
Andrew.
Want.
Next, we got Ross Roscoe. And Ross writes, after only playing a few intro games, a local tournament is to be held in April. As per the attached tournament sheet, for the list selection based on tons, what would be the most effective and forgiving Woo. List for a new player?
No.
Man, you can... I have so much to say.
First off, this is for a Australian Brisbane tournament that I looked up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The factions that you must...
No BV
the factions you must pick are all Inner Sphere factions. So there seems to be some... Mm-hmm. anti-clan. There's no era restriction, but it's all, yeah. No clan mechs allowed.
It says only battle mechs and omni mechs can be chosen for your force. No proto mechs, vehicles, VTOLs. Oh, okay.
But you have to pick it. You have to pick a faction, and their only factions available are Intersphere ones.
So you're only going to get the
Are available.
Okay, so tournament. So we're going to just all agree the tournament itself is flawed.
Yes. Well, first of all, if you're only going by tonnage, it has to be.
This is a narrative event, and so you should think of it as a narrative event.
Let's go with that. Okay. Yeah.
If you want to try hard, I would go to. I think it would be easiest for me to do on Solaris Skunkworks because you can specify, and perhaps you can do this in Mega Mech too. I'm just not familiar with it.
With the new update, yeah.
But you can specify, a tonnage class. So if you're looking for, I need a 50 ton mech because I have 260 tons or whatever, and then you can sort that by battle value and just take the one with the highest battle value.
But he specifically said he doesn't want battle value to guide him. And that's where I think the problem is. Like, there's with programs out there like Skunkworks and Mega Mech, especially Mega Mech. Like, there's battle BV2 is just the best way right now that we have for balancing things like this. Tonnage is not, and BV1 is also broken. So I can't with good conscience allow you to keep going down that path.
All of us are like, we want to help, but we're also not willing to touch this with a 10-foot pole. I do not want to, quote, balance things by tonnage. The C3 was paid for by tonnage, according to their tournament pack. So, if you upgrade the gunnery of an assault mech, you pay 20 extra tons for that mech. So I'm like, they've said BV is bad. And tonnage is how we balance, and we fixed how we balance by tonnage. And I say no, because just like Dustin was saying, where you sort the mechs by tonnage and go with the most BV expensive but cheapest tonnage wise, and then you just use the extra. Like, yeah, not all 50 tonners are built the same, so you just take the most expensive 50 tonner BV wise,
right?
But Roscoe also wrote that going deep and wide beyond intro tech, I'm at a loss for all the armor tech and other things without BV to guide me. I guess I'm going to try to answer that part of the question because that is incredibly overwhelming. I would kind of do it all in reverse. I would pick, my favorite color scheme because of, or what I've already painted as far as faction goes. And then I would go to the master unit list and I would look up the mechs that I have already painted in that faction or that really catch my eye. It's a narrative event. I wouldn't worry about it too much. And then just sort out your 260 tons and pick the chassis that you like and try to fill out your roles. Try to bring your brawler and your strikers and, not a lot of snipers and roll with it and just enjoy your tournament. And go with the experience. You're gonna encounter a lot of stuff there, so yeah. Just soak it all up.
Yeah, use it as a benchmark tournament and a learning experience, and build on it from there to see what works and what doesn't. If you don't like going with BV and you really want to go with this, I mean, looking at this, I can't go through all the math and find out any of the place where it breaks apart, but through playing, you're going to find out. And maybe you'll be able to refine it into something that works really, really well, but it's going to take a lot of playthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
My fastest, easiest answer without literally going into this convoluted how to not use BV to make a list is take what you've already practiced on and just up the skills. Like if you've practiced on a 4-5, take them as a 3-4. Maybe take the next variant in the year. Like you've upgraded from intro tech, now take the one with some intro techs and one special weapon, like an ERPPC. Like it doesn't do anything more; it just takes extra heat now. So baby step it. Like, you don't need to go crazy and start taking reflective armor or reactive hardened armor on something you've never played. Just take what you've already taken, make the pilot and gunnery a little bit better, and if you feel crazy after that, take a next step in tech. But thanks for writing in, Ross. All right, next.
I would not mind hearing an aftermath report to see what he thought and if there was any changes that he decided to make. I wouldn't mind hearing what happens. So,
what happens down under hopefully will stay down under. All right. Shane Haas writes, "Hello, Dustin, Denim, and Josh. I started doing a Chaos Campaign narrative game. Interest was very high with 16 people playing in our first game, divided into three groups. Sounds kind of like our games, right? Yep. Yeah. We started simple with just what the campaign PDF calls for, but I wanted to add some additional optional objectives to spice things up a bit. Do you have any advice on creating optional objectives or good resources to use?"
I tend to steal a lot from the Turning Point things. My favorite Turning Point missions, I'll be like, this one was fun. I'm going to steal some of the objective bits from that. Josh, I know that you do a lot of writing for our campaign missions. Where do you get your inspiration from?
Myself.
All right. So just ask Josh every time. You just make sure to ask him, and he will give you some of his inspiration.
I mean, the best way is, like, how would I like to watch this on TV or as a movie? Like, what is a thematic thing, like the plot? And then I'm like, okay, like Mandalorian, what's the objective for this, you know, episode? Oh, they're robbing a train. Okay, so an objective is moving across the table and they have to stop it. Like, stuff like that, like additional objectives, spice up, go crazy. What is it? The stealing is a form of flattery.
Yeah. If you see something you like, you know, take it. That's the people writing these scenarios do not mind that. From what the ones I've talked to, they think that's great.
I will say you should always have at least a buddy who you're throwing these ideas out onto to be like your yes man / no man. Like, hey man, the objective moving at, you know, 8 hexes is cool, but none of us can reach it in time.
Yeah, like, these things are not designed in a vacuum. You need a buddy system for sure.
Good resource to use your friends. That's the best resource available. Their time is free. And their enjoyment is hopefully combined with your enjoyment. All right, we've got Chad. Chad writes, "Hello to everyone in the Mech Bay podcast. I was looking at the Greyhound Mech on the Fortress website and reading the TRO that you wrote for it. As a primarily 30-25 player, I was wondering what you think the downgraded loadout would look like on the ground if one was able to survive the Succession War. If you decided to make one up, I would love to throw it into one of my Merc units." I actually have it. Yeah, I have one. Greyhound 01, and that's just large lasers, medium lasers, couple small lasers, and SRM-4s. And unfortunately, you have to downgrade the engine to a 5.8 instead of the 6.9. So
it is slow. Yeah, I think I've used that one.
5.8 slow in Succession Wars?
Yeah, it's just slow in general.
For a heavy?
For a Greyhound?
But...
So is the record sheet there for that one, the 01?
I believe it is. The last time I looked at it, that's where I downloaded mine from.
Yeah, it should be on the Fortress site. And also, if you go to our Greyhound sheet episode where we talk about it, it should be in the document. But I will link that again. All right. That's enough fan mail. I've sorted through all of the fan mail. I picked my favorites. I sent the rest. Yeah, the right Aztecs will hopefully mail you a thank you for writing in consolation prize. But we do have some, what's the best way to put it, hotly requested Lance in review. So we have three Lances this time to review. The first one is from Andrew Plummer. "Good day, Mech Bay. I'm really enjoying your podcast, and I've learned much about Battletech and several things I have tried to figure out. I have found answers on the podcast. Also, it is just enjoyable to listen to with the conversations and lore. For my first Lance build created, I have not brought it into the table yet. What are your thoughts and experiences of Wisdom on the Lance? I'm new to Battletech. I've played one match on the tabletop, but I love PC games in the books. All right, Andrew, you've brought in a Catapult 10Z, a Cataphract 1X, a Blackjack 1, and a Valkyrie QA. And that is 49, 53 BV. So these are all four. Oh, they're not all four or five. Ooh.
I do notice that you've got BV1 and BV2 listed. BV1 is an outdated system that is no longer supported. So I know that some mech building programs still have it, but I would just ignore that because it's not going to make your list valid in any of the tournaments or matches that people play. So I would stick with the BV2. It is much, much more accurate. Not perfect, but much, much better than BV1 or tonnage. So this is a 5K BV list is what I would call this.
I think it's a Cyclops, not a Catapult.
The top one is a Cyclops, yeah.
That's what I said.
CP10Z.
Yeah.
I'm 90% sure I said Cyclops.
It doesn't matter. 90%
sure.
So this looks like a pretty solid intro tech list. It's here to brawl, and that's what's going to happen when you're playing intro tech. But I still would like to see kind of a striker, more of a striker mech in here, or a skirmisher, like a Wolverine or something. I like the Blackjack, of course. Cataphract is a good maneuverable heavy, and the Cyclops is there to take the field and control it. Maybe moving some numbers around and just getting I don't think it's a bad list, but if you asked for a critique, that's my critique, is the lack of like a skirmisher.
In fact, drop the Blackjack and take something faster. Like the Wolverine or
yeah you could take a cheaper light and switch the Blackjack out for a Wolverine or something like that. If Wolverine keeps on coming, Wolverine's just such a good intro tech.
Is that Cyclops one really? With the AC-20?
Yes.
Yeah. Z?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, I mean you've got the Cyclops and the yeah. Cataphract in the middle. Like they're mixing it up. They're the ones that are just going to go in and do the damage. The Valkyrie is just yep. flanking and trying to get the rear shots and trying to keep the medium mechs off of the back of your heavy mechs. And also the Blackjack is just standing on a hillway in the back, also defending it shouldn't be mixing it up or picking targets. It should be defending the Cataphract and the Cyclops. So as long as you can keep those two, the heavy and the command mech, alive and in there doing damage at close enough range, you'll do okay. But it is definitely a lance that you want to get in their face with, and you don't want to back down, and you don't want them to get too much of a surround on you.
Yeah, don't
protect
hesitate.
Those heavy mechs and just pump out all the damage you can with them.
So first thing I'm going to say is, Andrew's already a smarter player because he's decided to upgrade piloting skill.
Yeah, to 4 instead of 5.
Three of the mechs that are probably going to be taking hits have piloting 4, so they're going to fall down less than their opponent at 5k BV. So rather than take heavy, 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 and a light, they've gone with the perfect spread, but also upgraded everything, based on how much damage. The Cyclops, so a 4-6. It's going to be hit just as much. The Gunnery 3 piloting 4, great. For 1700 BV, perfect. Like, it's going to get in there. It's going to now hit with its autocannon 20. So I think that's a great choice.
Yep.
Cataphract 1, it's a little slow. Like, I'm going to be honest. The Cataphract is a slow mech. It's got a good, decent amount of armor. It's got an AC-10. It's got four medium lasers.
Large laser,
but it also doesn't have the jump jets like the other one, so it's kind of like, if that's your like iconic love to have it mech, bring it. But I also feel like you could maybe take a faster heavy mech or keep that and swap the Blackjack for something faster. But overall, I think the core of the list is there.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't see any glaring problems. Valkyrie, not my favorite, but you need something with good, fast jumping, and the Valkyrie has it. My only issue is it can't exploit jumping into the rear and getting shots off, because the LRM-10 means it needs to jump away from the person.
Right.
So you could probably have a cheaper support light, or the blackjack is already fulfilling that role. So take something faster and more.
Right. I would take like a spider or a Jenner.
Yeah.
Either of those would work.
Yeah. Having the Valkyrie and the blackjack is kind of breaking my, don't bring more than a right. half a sniper. The blackjack's already a half a sniper. So is the Valkyrie. So it's kind of
blackjack and brawl if it needs to. Valkyrie can't.
That's true. As the local blackjack stan, I felt severely offended when Denim said it was just back there, not getting in the scrum. I'm like, excuse me, 4-6-4 with four medium lasers. He can scrum, not forever. Denim is not convinced.
I will scrum against your blackjack with almost any of my other mechs.
I know.
But yeah, that's if I were to swap one out, it'd be the Valkyrie for like a Jenner.
No, I like it. All right, so that's our list from Andrew. Let's go on to our list from Anthony Immel. Anthony gives us a Marian Hegemony list. The 4th Legio, 4th Manipulus, 1st Centauria for 5641 BV. So we've got an awesome...
It's an interesting BV total, yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just what they start with. I'm not here to judge people's BV.
That's true. We didn't ever say any sort of a BV limit at all. So
that's true.
Yeah.
So we've got an awesome 9Q. We've got 2 Shrek PPC carriers and 2 heavy LRM carriers.
All right. Is the 9Q the one with the LRMs?
It's the one with 4 PPCs double heat sinks.
Are those are the ER PPCs or regular PPCs?
Heat sinks, saved weight, 4th, they're regular right. PPCs.
Yeah, that's the problem is that this is a slow
although
list.
There were some criticism.
Slow lists. Yeah. So this anyone who gets within like short range, somebody with some medium lasers gets in there at 2 or 3 hexes and it's just going to be so hard for you to hit them back. I mean, it's a lot of PPCs. So, you know, if you're just going with volume.
Eye watering amount yeah. of PPCs.
It's a lot of damage from across the map, but if you can get in close, then you fall apart. I would like to see one of those heavy LRM carriers to be an SRM carrier just to sit there and shoot things and get close.
Yeah, for when the Victor comes with the AC-20 and the jump jets to get all up in there. So yeah, that's the same. That's my critique is that there's no coverage for the snipers. There's you got to have the Rottweiler.
The ultimate defense list, though. Like
I'd say, you find a wall and sit behind it.
Like this is if my opponent brings this and it's like an objective game, and I'm like, nah, man, please, no. Like I'd like to do something else. So I am scared of this list. Like
that's so many PPCs. 6
Well, your blackjack would win because so at the PPCs. Oh no, I guess the heavy LRM carriers have a long range. Yeah. But the PPCs all only go out to 18, so there's plenty of weapons that you can sit outside that effective range and plink at them.
That's 10 PPCs.
It is a lot.
My only thought is a lot. The awesome is 1875, and it's gonna fall over. It's gonna fall over, and it's never gonna get up. It's gonna take the. It's going to take 5 medium lasers from some stupid mongoose or something. And it's going to get
that mongoose. Yeah. It's going to get a critical, a gyro through armor crit. Right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Just need some close support. That's all really. Yeah.
Change the LRM launchers to SRM launchers.
Done. Both of them. If you swap both of them out.
Yeah. Done.
Alrighty, third Lance and final one. We got Stuart Blair, aka Battletopia, with a 10K list.
Nice.
Stuart has a Thorn in 1, which they used after my talking about the Thorn episode at Gunnery 3, Piloting 4, the Spider 4-5, Hermes 3S2 at 3-4, a Star Slayer at 3-4, a Mauler 1R at 3-4, and a Thunderhawk at 2-4.
Mm.
I mean, that's a nasty list.
This is illegal.
I think that spider needs to have a lower piloting so that it can get behind mechs and do the double punch because its weapons are all in the torsos. So you want to be able to jump behind someone, shoot them with all your weapons, and do the two punches just to get the 1 in 6 chance of pilot damage, just to start knocking pilots out. So, like, even if you make it a 5-3, you're not going to hit with the medium lasers very often, but you're going to get those punches in a lot more often.
Bro, just dump the gunnery on the spider. Like, you don't even need it. Don't take it. Just go gunnery 6, piloting 2. Like, don't look at me like that's illegal. I'm looking at your Thunderhawk with gunnery 2.
Yeah. That Thunderhawk with the gunnery 2 is like, whew, that's a little scary. Mauler 1R. That is not the regular Mauler, right? What is the 1R? What? Commanders. Oh.
Nope, that's the standard 2ER. That's the regular? That's not the intro Beautiful. Tech one. That's the standard variant.
ER large lasers.
With the ERs.
4 AC2s.
It has 4 AC2s. It's twice as many as the Blackjack. It's twice as good.
It's so hot, though.
It is. Let's see. I like it. This has got a lot of everything. It's got the Thunderhawk and the Mauler to really just, you know, rain death. Star Slayer is like a good skirmisher, as is the Hermes. The spider's jumping around and doing the things. And
yeah, I think if you lower the spider's piloting, I think it's the MVP. It's the one that does the most harassing and just keeps the other team off balance so that your other mechs can do what they're supposed to do.
Like, Stuart writes his, you know, battle stories of using the Thorn to wait and get that one perfect shot only for the Thorn to die. So I'm like, yeah, you could probably raise the gunnery of the Thorn. It does not need piloting 4. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. I hate to say it. It doesn't. It's going to get touched once and it'll never.
Right. If you're not going to survive being hit, you don't need a good piloting score.
There's going to be I'm only going to need 2 PSRs, me hitting the ground and me rolling to eject.
That's right.
It's very weighted to light. You got the Star Slayer and then you got assaults. I'm just like, there's no medium or heavy. There's no middle. What's your tanky fast all rounder? He's not good at anything, but
yeah, the Star Slayer doesn't have the jump jets to be. And there, outside of the spider, I guess there's not really any jump jets. So maybe one more. I guess I could say that. Maybe one more.
I hate to say this list kind of needs a Shadowhawk variant.
Good Rack 5 Shadowhawk.
I can't wait for the new Star Slayer.
I mean, it would actually do well. Like, something to constantly just burt and harass.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, no. I yawned. It's now passing. Yeah.
But we're done.
It's not coughing.
That's true. We have good immune systems here. Jeez. All right. So the printer ate some of the mail, but we got most of it. I'd like to thank everyone for sending in their stuff for us to ask. If you have any more either lists/lances and reviews that you'd like to send us, you can send those at themechbaypodcast@gmail.com. And I'd like to thank everyone for sending stuff so far. And please continue to send stuff. We love hearing and reading about what you're doing Battletech-wise at your tables.
Agreed. I mean, Discord is great, and I love the Discord, the back and forth, but emails are fun. It's nice to just be able to read them and respond at leisure. So, you know, more of those.
It's a different pace.
Yeah. Anyone want to send us home? Thanks for sticking with us, listeners, through 50 episodes. Stay tuned for the next episode where we recap our 4 days at Adepticon, Battletech on Battle Mech Action, where we talk about the Kickstarter, the new mechs, and all the events we can get our hands on.